This is a challenging one today, the eternal now, especially when they say, we have God already. And I know personally, whenever I read that, I think, well, okay. But we'll get to that a little at a time. What I want to do is speak a little bit about the inspiration of Swami Kriyananda. He's in town, or in the States here for 2 months. And the last 2 weeks, we were there with him. And it's been a truly joyful time. And I know some of you were there also. And I remember, 3 or 4 years ago when he came back from India, and he did service here. And then after service, the place was packed. There were like 350 people, maybe more. And one by one, he blessed every single person. And it was just, you know, his giving every moment to each single person. It was just so moving. And I was sitting right over here with nothing to do but sit and watch. And I knew in that moment there was nowhere else I wanted to be and there was nothing else I wanted to be doing. And so for me, that whole hour was the eternal now, because I wasn't planning on what I'm going to do next, wasn't worried about this or that or the other thing. So that was the first experience, and that's when I knew that Swami is really putting out the energy. It is no longer hidden. There's a number of books out now, Asha's book, and Vijay Garrard has written one, and Sadhana Devi has written one, and I'm sure there'll be a number of others. Devi has written one about life with Swami Kriyananda. And it's really interesting to see their feedback on how they perceived him. And many of them think that Swami has not changed since they first met him. I know personally that's not been my experience. And so I began to think about that and I thought, well, what does that mean? And I realized that a certain amount of it was we project our own weaknesses, our own failings onto the people around us. And so we see ego in people, we see various other things. And so as you begin to improve yourself, you cease to project your own failings onto others. And Swami continues to get better for some reason. That's not really fair. Swami's a great soul, and I can say without a doubt that he's a saint. And it's kind of fun to have someone that you can point to, and I can say to anyone, yeah, you want to come see a saint? Come here. So we had a couple of very nice experiences with him. He got here on the 2nd, and then a few days later, he went to the village. And as he was leaving, David Praver got on the phone and called a bunch of us, whoever was around. And so there was probably 30 or 40 of us sitting there waiting for him to get in his car, and we just expected that we would, you know, just pray as he drove away. But Asha went up to the car and shook his hand. And he patted her on the cheek like this and patted her on the head, and she was just in tears. It was the sweetest moment, because he was just giving this love straight out without holding back anything. And so from then, he just had every one of us, all 30 of us, come up and shake hands with him at the car. And my particular relation with Swami is just one of, I just want to see that divine. Because my picture of the divine is that absolute, centered, unmoving. And so I don't look for love, I don't look for any of these other things, I don't look personally for something from Swami, but I get a chance to see that absolute purity of spirit in another person's eyes is just really rewarding for me. Because that's what I try and do when I meditate, is just go as deep as I can. And so he shook Swami's hand, he remembered my name, but that didn't really matter. It was just being able to see that perfectness there. And then 2 weekends ago, he gave 2 or 3 really inspiring talks at the village. If you want to see them, they're on the net. You just go to ananda.org, and on the left there's a couple of listings, and you just double-click on the one that you want to hear. And it's fun to see the video rather than just listen to the sound, because you can see his facial expressions, you can see that you get the whole feeling that way. And what struck me, a couple of things struck me about that weekend. One of them was that it was his birthday, we were celebrating his birthday. And so after we gave him a cake and sang happy birthday and a gift and all this, he again sat and blessed everyone who had come to him. And he was exhausted, so he was sitting in a chair, and I didn't really think it was the best thing for him, so I didn't feel to go up and get a blessing. But I encouraged anyone who had not had a blessing from Swami to run up there and get it, because he is just giving out, he's just a channel for God to come through. And the Sunday service he gave, he was just sharing his love and concern for us. That was just the sweetest thing. And then the next weekend was the Joyful Arts Weekend, which was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of affair. And he gave a class on Saturday. And during that class, he was saying that God is just very pleased with the work that's being done. God and the gurus look to us now to carry on his work. And it's time for us to become adults on the spiritual path and to do our part. And then we had the singing on Saturday night, and that was the best I'd ever heard the choir. David Eby, who runs the choir at the village, is a pro, and he worked with them so that the choir was just sparkling. I just never heard them sound that good. And Swami was so touched by it that at the end of the performance, he jumped up on the stage, which, you know, hard to believe, but he actually, you know, came running up on the stage almost as an 81-year-old with all his difficulties could do. And he was just in tears, and he just poured out his love and appreciation to the choir. And I don't think there was a dry eye in the choir at that point. But he just really so appreciated that energy. And then on Sunday, he left us with just an appreciation for all that we've done for him. And so it was just the sweetest weekend that we had. And it is time for us now to claim our spirituality and to go out and to help other people. Now, how does that relate to the here and now? Well, it's an interesting fact that we almost none of us live in the moment. I'm not quite sure why, but when I first read Be Here Now by Ram Dass, I thought, well, this is a snap. All you got to do is just, you know, consciously be here now. And I'd be here, and pretty soon, I'd be over there. Be here. It is really hard to just be here. You think you are, but in a moment you're gone. And a certain amount of it, that's just habitual. I think that we've just made an ongoing habit of not being in the moment. You see little kids, they're absolutely in the moment. Minutes are like forever for them. We have to wait 5 minutes. They can't wait 5 minutes. For us, 5 minutes, yeah, we'll just go into a nod. 5 minutes is over like that. I'm pretty much convinced that the reason time goes faster as you get older is you're just asleep more. Just watch your mind. You'll have a tendency to make plans about what you want. When I get this afternoon, when I do that, when I go camping, when I go vacation, whatever it is, we're not here. So what we need to do is to just bring our consciousness back to this moment, because in reality, there is no other time. Swami has a great story about that. As a child, he used to go into super consciousness before he went to sleep. It was just normal for him. This is something he told us within the last few years. And the first time he went into super consciousness in meditation, he realized it was the same moment as the time when he was a child going back to sleep. It wasn't as the same moment, it was that moment. Okay, now that's a real mind bender, but just continue to work on that, because that's the truth. This moment is all there is. So that leaves us with a huge gap, unfortunately, at least does for me. So what do we do with that? And a certain amount of it is there's a number of practices, but one of them, we have a tendency to believe in time and space. So we need to just pull back a little bit from that strong belief in time and space. And to begin to change what we identify with. We're strongly identified with this body, this personality, this mind. All right? Now, one thing that you can do is as you meditate, you begin to come to a center that doesn't move. If you've meditated any time at all, you know that center. Okay, now begin to hold that as who you are. And I found personally that it's somehow or other easier for me to feel it around the heart center. Okay. Now, make that your reality. Anytime the other thing intrudes, oh, I'm this body, oh, I'm this mind, da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff that runs constantly, just quietly bring it back here to the center. Now, you can make it kind of a visceral experience, kind of a feeling experience. Feel that heart. Spend some time on this, and then anytime you're off center, just say, oh, right, back here. Just keep coming back. And then change that constant litany of I'm this body, because, you know, I mean, we're just totally identified with it, but we don't need to be. The most amazing thing, the longer you spend working on this, the more you realize this is just a vehicle. This is just, you know, something that you use. You can actually identify with being love or joy or any one of those other aspects of God and just say, as soon as you get off, joy, I am joy. You can do this moment to moment. And the more you can do this, the more you will actually be in this moment. And there's no failing on this. That's the best part about this. As soon as you're off, you just note it and you go, oh, back here. Now realize all of the things that we project out. I will be happy when. Okay, now you look at that and you say, all right, how will I feel when? What's the point of this thing that I want? Get that feeling and then bring it back into your heart and say, I have it now. Then you don't have to run around and buy the new camera that you don't need, or the new car, or the you know, second boat, or whatever, because they're not going to make you happy, and if they do, own that happiness, have it now, and you won't have to spend the money. But just realize that all of the things that we do are just mental tricks, absolutely unneeded. So work, you know, consciously work on this, because this can really help your existence. You can be absolutely happy in this moment. Okay, so further on in the reading, they talk about lifting up your eyes. And this is a classic one in the Bible. Christ even says it in the Bible. Lift up your eyes, behold the white, which means the light of spirit. And if you look up, we see the spiritual eye. And so as you meditate, spend more time concentrating on that spiritual eye. After you've meditated, sit quietly and begin to just look into that spiritual eye. And if you're just sitting in the dark and nothing is happening, know for a fact that a difference in darkness is that spiritual eye. You can start anywhere with this. Okay, just continue to concentrate. If you don't have that perfect picture, is it a little less dark in the middle? Okay, and then feel that and go into that darkness, go into that feeling. And then little by little, that spiritual eye will begin to become more and more important for you. Now the importance of that is that's our doorway to the infinite. And so make that experience and that feeling a friend of yours. As you do that over time, there will become a time when we will all pass out of this world, and if we're very concentrated, we will go out through that door. So it's imperative that we understand it, we know it, we're ready to experience it. Otherwise, we'll slip back into the subconscious again, and we'll go out through the medulla, and there we are asleep again, and we'll wake up a crying baby. So, the meditation is an important aspect of this. If you can meditate for any period of time, it will help your experience. And any amount of time that you can consciously hold on to that unmoving space within, it's very, very important. Now, further for Swami Kriyananda, he will be around through the 2nd of August. And there's a good possibility he will do something here, either a satsang or a Sunday service, or some other, I'm not sure exactly what. But any time you can be around him, it's worthwhile, because his consciousness, his connection with Yogananda, is what we're trying to attain. And his flow through Yogananda, through the masters, is the energy behind this church. So if you have any connection with this church, it will really help you to begin to feel a little bit of that energy from Swami Kriyananda. So watch your emails. Linda sends them out. She'll tell us when there's something planned. And if Swami does come, we have a temple on the property in our community, and he's about 10 feet away from the temple. So if you want to come and meditate, it's open 24 hours. You can come and meditate and begin to feel that. I know personally, whenever Swami's on the property, my meditations are just better. So it's an ideal time. There's no guarantee he'll live another year. We have no idea how long he'll be around. He's, you know, continually saying, this work is yours. You know, he works like a horse, of course, but he's also implying that it's time for us to take it on and to go forward with it. But if there's any possibility of spending time around Swami Kriyananda, it's a definite worthwhile experience. God bless.